Genesis 11, verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came.
There's a story.
It's the first trust. We're thinking of the story of one man this morning, of God dealing with one man. And we're going to see, I trust God's Holy Spirit, even as the message goes on, will be applying the story to your heart, even as you need it. Then when we gather up the threads at the end, the application will come home with greater power. I want you to see, right from the beginning, that Abram was a man with a problem. I know we think of Abram as a man of faith and peace and blessing, and so he was and all that. But I want you to see in a special way that Abram was a man with a problem. Let's see what that problem was. His name Abram means father. His name meant father. And yet you have this pathetic verse in verse 30 of Genesis 11. Sarai was barren. She had no child. Abram was 75. Sarai was his wife. They had no child. Abram's problem was domestic, concerning his own soul, concerning his love and his life with Sarah. Abram had a tremendous love for Sarai. He loved her. He lied for her sake, as we shall see. And even when you come to the 23rd chapter of this book, you'll see the whole chapter is devoted to the funeral of Sarah. Abram had a tremendous love for this woman who, it's repeated, was so fair, so wonderfully fair. She meant all the world to Abram. But he had no son. And you see, he was always in the position of embarrassment. What's your name? Abram. Which means father. Good. How many children do you have?
None.
Abram had a problem. He lived with his problem. And then you see, to my mind, as we bring this message this morning, this is the first step. God came to this man with a problem, and God gave him a promise. God said to this man, I will make of thee a great nation. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and all the families of the earth will be blessed in thee. God promised this man that out of him would come a great nation. You see, Abram had the problem. No son. God had the promise. A great nation. And God said to Abram, you step out, and I'll bring my promise. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land which I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I want you to see, it came to me just a few days ago with tremendous force, that Abram took his problem with him. A tremendous thing this. God spoke to him, and Abram had to step out and take his problem with him. There are many of God's people who've got problems and were beset by our problems. I don't know what your problem is, but most of us have these problems. Some of you may have problems that are tremendous in your life. And you're here, maybe this week, facing up to them in the presence of God. And you're wanting God to answer your problems. You're wanting God to solve your problems. I want you to see right from the beginning that Abram stepped out by faith and he took his problem with him. And he trusted a God whom he'd only come to know, that this God would fulfill the promise that he made. Abram's problem, no son. God's promise, a great nation. So he stepped out in faith. And you know, of course, so well in Hebrews how these words are brought to us concerning Abram. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read these words. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. That's how you've got to go. That's how you've got to go. You take your problem with you and you don't know where you're going, but you trust a God whom you've never seen to fulfill a promise that he's made to you. Abram went with his problem to a place he didn't know where he was going. He walked right out into the blue. And he took his problem with him. That was the first trust. God can do something with a man like that. God can do something today with a woman like that. A person who will say, Heavenly Father, I trust you. I've got my fears, I've got my difficulties, I've got my problems. But Heavenly Father, I'll take my problem with me, I'll step out. I don't know where you're taking me, but I know you. And I'll trust you. Maybe some of us need to make that trust this morning. That was the first trust that Abram had. Then we move on to our second section here, the faithful time. On the basis of what Abram did, God progressed. You find that when there is obedience to God, then he takes us the next stage. And when there's obedience, God takes us the next stage. And when there's obedience, God takes us the next stage. It's trust and obey, then it's trust and obey, then it's trust and obey, then it's trust and obey. Trust and obey isn't a hymn, it's a Christian life. And maybe some of us haven't made the progress we wanted because we haven't taken the step that God calls us to. We're saying, well, when I see things straightening up, then I'll do something. If Abram had waited until his problem was solved, there wouldn't have been an Old Testament. So, the faithful time, chapter 12, reading verse 6 to 8. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and for the first time he called upon the name of the Lord. Here's a man having an adventure with God. This man, the altar builder, verse 7, the Lord appeared unto him, and the Lord said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. The Lord made the promise, but he didn't have the son. God had promised him just one thing, a son. All the rest was incidental. The promise was a son. All the other things came, but it had to be a son. And Abram was looking for a son. And so he stepped out. And he came into this new place that had never been there before. And God gives his promise again in verse 7. Unto thy seed will I give this land. And I want you to see how in picture form Abram starts to cooperate, or shall we say, respond. He built an altar to God. In fact, we've seen how he built two altars here. This is Abram coming into personal contact with a God he's never seen. This is Abram's response to God's promise. This is a sense, to me, it speaks words like this. It's Abram saying, I can't, but I believe you can. And so, thank you, Heavenly Father. And you're going to find that this is the pattern right through the life of Abram. I can't, but you can. And so, thank you, Heavenly Father. And God made the promise again. But there was no son. And Abram built the altar. The altar, Abram's place of worship, Abram's place of thanksgiving to God. I can't. But Heavenly Father, you can. And so, thank you. And then we saw in verse 8, he went on. And he built an altar unto the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. God has been speaking to Abram so far. Now Abram starts and speaks to God. Wonderful. The adventure with God. Is your Christian life an adventure with God? Are you going on a step at a time, just stepping out and saying, I can't, but Lord Jesus, you can, and thank you, and so I step out by faith. And he called on the name of the Lord. Wonderful. The rest of this chapter deals with Abram's failure. Abram failed twice, again later on, and again because of this lovely woman who meant so much to him, Sarai. He loved her, didn't want to lose her. Twice he was a deceiver. Twice he was a Jacob. Twice Abram was a Jacob, a liar, a deceiver. It's wonderful to realize that God's word doesn't whitewash the saints of God. That's the wonder of the word of God. David, in all his wonderful glory, all the wonderful type of Christ, and yet the Bible brands him as an adulterer and a murderer. He wouldn't be acceptable in society today. But he's a saint of God. God's word doesn't whitewash the saints of God. That's why when you come to the Lord Jesus and it said, in him was no sin. The tremendous emphasis. The Bible's full of saints and wonderful men and women, but they all had their sins and their failures. But this blessed Son of God, in him was no sin. Here Abram is brought before us. He fell. But the beauty of it is to look into chapter 13, and let's read from verses 1 to 4. He went down to Egypt. Notice that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was the land. Abram was learning of God, just like some of us are. Chapter 13. Abram went up out of Egypt. He and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Abram was a backslider. He went down into Egypt, and he was a Jacob, a liar and a deceiver. Just like some of us are. But we have the wonderful pattern, the wonderful teaching that Abram came back. And he came right back to the altar. He came right back to the place of saying, Heavenly Father, I can't. But you can, and thank you, Heavenly Father. He thought he could. He tried to do it in Egypt. But he had to learn that he couldn't. And he came right back to the altar, the same altar that he had at the beginning. Oh, what a wonderful, the same altar he'd made there at the first. He had to make that same reassertion of his faith. And notice, he called on the name of the Lord. When he was in Egypt, he tried to operate under his own steam. He tried to plan and scheme and work out his own way, just like Jacob did. But it only proved failure. Wonder if I'm speaking to somebody this morning, you know, and you can see the pattern in Abram, you can see yourself in this. You once walked with God, and you once walked, and you talked with God. And then you thought you were a big boy or a big girl and you didn't need to hold God's hand anymore and you were a tough guy and you could take it and you stepped out. And you went down to Egypt. Notice in the scripture, you always go down to Egypt. You go down. Maybe God has brought you here this week to show you the very simple fact that if you want to get it right with God, you come right back to where you were when you took off. You don't kind of skip that distance. All those days and months with Abram were wasted days and wasted months. You may have been a backslider for years. You may have been a backslider for 10 years, 15 years. They're wasted years, my brother, absolutely wasted, and you come back right to the place where you were, right back to the altar that you had at first, and you come back with the burden on your heart, Heavenly Father, I can't, I know I can't, I proved I can't, but oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, you can. and Lord. I want to have dealings with a God who loves me and cares for me. And then let's look at chapter 14. Or we can still keep in chapter 13. Lot left him now. Here was the test for Abram. Lot leaves him. Lot chooses to go into the place of fun, excitement, all the delights of the modern age. Lot went. And when Lot went, Abram was left. More alone still, you see. Lot had the family. Abram didn't. And when Lot went, the family went. And Abram was left without any family. There weren't even Lot's family then. Abram was left with Sarah, woman he loved. And Abram wanted to see a little one. Abram wanted little feet running around the house. Some of us are parents, some of us are grandparents now. But we know the wonder of having little children in your home. Something which is so precious, something the world hasn't got its fingers on yet. Little, lovely little children, and the world hasn't marred or spoiled them, and they're precious, and you love them. And Abram didn't have a little child. And when Lot went, the family went. And Abram was left alone. But look at chapter 13, and look at verse 14. I love this. It's almost as if God comes to Abram to cheer him up. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, you see. After Lot had gone, and the family had gone, and it all gone. The Lord said, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Here's the promise again. To thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the length, the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and did what God said, and he came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and he built there an altar unto the Lord. God came with his wonderful promise as Abram saw Lot go and the family go, and all the childish joys go, and Abram was left on the hillside. He'd come out on a promise. And he's still got his problem. And God comes to him and God says again, I'm going to make of you a great nation. You look and look and look and look, and it's all for you and for your seed. And he hadn't got a son. Abram still had his problem and God still had his promise. But notice what Abram did. He went and he built another altar. He said, thank you, Heavenly Father, I can't, but you can, and thank you, and I believe you. Abram's altar was the testimony of his faith in God. Wonderful, you see. This chapter is called the faithful time. How he goes on, time after time, still with his problems. Still with his wonderful wife and no family. Still with his empty home. Still with his problems. And all he's got from God is a promise. Is all you got from God a promise? Are you hanging on to the promises of God? Is all you got? And you're finding it difficult? You see this man. All he's got is a promise. And he stepped out into the unknown, not knowing where he was going. Oh, I know he was rich and prosperous. But you're big enough, most of you, to realize that riches don't give you satisfaction. And prosperity doesn't bring peace. And Abram wanted a son. And all God gave him was a promise. But Abram believed the promise, and he went on into the unknown. And his altar was the affirmation of his faith. Heavenly Father, I can't, but I believe you can. And I trust you. And so he went on. Look in chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And then you have the man speaking. Notice the pathetic tone of his voice, the hunger. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. The agony of this, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? You've given me this and this and this and all these riches, but Lord, I'm childless. My problem is I want a son. God gave him riches and honor and blessing, and you can trace all that, but Abram wasn't interested in that. Abram wanted a son. His one problem. And God comes back only with a promise. Read on. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. This is verse 4 of chapter 15 of Genesis, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own body shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And Abram believed God. Abram believed God. God made a promise. Abram came with his childlessness. God gave his promise. And Abram said, Thank you, Heavenly Father. I can't. But I believe you can, and Lord, I'll wait your time. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Let's move on. Our time is moving rather quickly. Chapter 17. Chapter 17. Genesis. Verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, he was 75 when he started. He stepped out on a promise. 24 years before, he stepped out on a promise. And he's 99 and he hasn't got his son yet. It's a tremendous adventure this man had with God. Almost as God is drawing this man out as far as he'll go. 24 years. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him now, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be called a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram. That means just an ordinary father. See the fantastic way in which God leads this man on. God said, I'm not going to call you father anymore, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. In the counsels of God, Abram was already a father of many nations. But he hadn't got a son. All he had was a promise. And God, as it were, magnified that promise, and God tested his faith. God said, I'm not going to call you Thomas. I'm going to call you Abraham, a father of many nations. And if you look on to verse 15, you'll see how God doubled that promise. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. God doubled his promise, both to Abraham and through his wife. But the thing I want you to notice is this, that Abraham hadn't got a son. All he had was God's promise, God's promise, God's multiplied promise, God's doubled promise, God's promise. All he had was a promise of God, and this after 24 years. So how long have you been waiting for God to work in your heart? I speak to college men and women sometime, and they say, oh, it's so difficult trying to be patient when God is working with you. And I say, well, how long? And they say, oh, it's 3 or 4 months I've been waiting. I say, brother, you're only just started. 3 or 4 months, why? Abraham waited 24 years. But the point was this, God was teaching Abram something, and God was teaching us something. You see, Abram is a wonderful lesson to us today of what a man can do when he has an adventure with God. God leads him on. Look in chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. See, the point is here, God, when God was ready, God did it. Abram had to learn lessons, and Abram had to teach us lessons. And when God was ready, God did it. And Abram called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And it goes on to speak in the next few verses up to verse 8 of the joy that filled the heart of Abram. And Abram was 100 years old. He waited 25 years for Isaac. Could you begin to imagine the joy that would fill the heart of that man? The thrill that would come. He was old, and maybe other people in his tribe had smiled and said, boy, that old fellow's got it on the brain. 100 years old, who ever heard of anybody having a family when you're 100 and his wife, why, she's 90. Ever heard of an old woman of 90 ever having a son? But the point was this, that God had made a promise. Abram had his problem, God had his promise, and Abram said, I can't, but you can, and thank you, Heavenly Father, and he waited, and he waited. And then came that tremendous, wonderful day when that baby was born. I reckon there was no other baby like it in all the world. 25 years. The joy that would fill the heart of Abraham as his faith in God was rewarded. But let's come to the third section of the story, the final test. Genesis chapter 22. Came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or a better word is test. God did test Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. God said, take now thy son, And notice this additional phrase, thine only son, Isaac. Thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. For every word there's worth $1,000,000. Thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now there's a test. You wait 25 years and then you get your son and he grows up in your house and you just love him and it's the joy of your heart and you've got peace because there he is. And then God comes and he says, take that darling of your heart, take him to the Mount Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering for me. Now, Abram, what are you going to say now? You had a problem before. Now you've got a real problem. You waited 25 years and God answered your problem just to bring you into this. Are you going to say, oh, Lord, you've made a mistake. I'm quit following you now. I've got what I want. I'm hanging on to my son. I'm quit going your way. Look, this is the wonder of this chapter. Verse 3, and Abram rose up early in the morning, slept on the dust. God spoke to him in the night, and Abram was away the next morning. Tremendous character. Tremendous character. No wasting time. He learned through all the years that he could trust God. Absolute faith in God. And you'll see this as we read on. This tremendous faith. Abram rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Obedience. Just what God had said. On the third day, wonderful third day of resurrection, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Faith! There never was faith like it. God said, you take him and kill him and burn him. And Abram went. But Abram said to these young men, we're going and we will come back again. I am going with Isaac and both of us are going to come back again. Talk about faith. Abram couldn't work it out. He just believed the promises. The whole thing was utterly impossible. To take his son, his only son, God said that it's your only son. There'll never be another one. It's your only son. To take him and kill him. But you see, Abram believed God. God had said to Abram, out of this son there are going to be all nations of the earth will be blessed. And Abram stepped out. He believed God. The whole thing was fantastically impossible, but Abram believed God and he stepped out. And he said in words like this, I don't know how, but we'll come back again. And so they went on. Abram took the wood of the burnt offering, verse 6, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, fire and a knife, judgment, and they went, both of them together. Lovely phrase, the father and the son, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abram his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And Isaac said, behold the fire and the wood. And where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And the lamb was the one that was speaking. Where is the lamb? And Abram said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. That's faith again. Abram said, I don't know. I can't, but you can. I believe you, God. I believe you. Even in the face of utter, complete end of all my hopes, I believe you.
And
so they went, both of them together. That lovely phrase again. Verse 9, they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abram built an altar. Here he is again, the last altar he ever built. Place of thanksgiving. You remember the altar means in the life of Abram, I can't, but you can, and thank you, Heavenly Father. And he built the altar, and he put his son on the altar, and he tied in there, and he raised a knife. Abram's faith is, I can't. I don't know how, but you can. And thank you, Heavenly Father. And verse 13, verse 10. Abram stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. And God waited until the upstroke. It's how God can test a man. God waited till the upstroke. And then the angel stopped him. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! Called twice this time, it was urgent. And he comes back with the same answer every time. Here am I.
The same
answer, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, there's the phrase, only son from me. And God lifted up his, Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abram called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Abram called it, the Lord will provide. That was his faith. As he went along with Isaac, he said, we'll come again. I don't know how. Where's the lamb? God will provide. And the wonderful realization that stay thy hand. Amazing man. The adventures of one man with God. God's promises came true. God tested him. And in the final test, the blessings of obedience we have in this phrase, verse 12. Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Now just as we finish, have you seen yourself in that story? I'm sure you have. Because that's what the story is for. But there's just one thing I wanted to notice as we gather the end up. First of all, God calls a man or a woman just like he's called you. And God takes you and God takes me a step at a time, a promise at a time, an altar at a time. And as we walk with God, as we come and we say, Heavenly Father, I can't, but you can, and thank you, Heavenly Father, so I go on. And I want to leave with you just one verse in the New Testament, you needn't turn to it. It's a verse that blessed my heart in a wonderful, wonderful way. Years ago, Colossians 2:6, it says this, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Oh, for a closer walk with God, we thank. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, that way back when you trusted the Lord Jesus, so walk. As you have received, so walk. And I remember it was a Keswick speaker speaking at the time, and it challenged them. I wonder if something will click in your heart. It clicked in my heart in a wonderful way. It came this way as he preached the word. as I had received, so I had to walk. How did I receive Jesus Christ? I received him by faith and with empty hands. I came with all my need to the cross. I couldn't do anything. I came and I said, Heavenly Father, I can't, but you can, and thank you, Lord Jesus, you died for me. I came by faith, and I received all that he was for all that I needed. That's how I came. And God's word says, as he has received, so walk. So walk. That's the way Abram walked. The wonderful, glorious, simple fact, as I move into each day, I'm conscious of one thing, as we've heard again and again this week, that Jesus Christ lives in me through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, other self, lives in me. And as I step out into each day, I say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you, dear Lord, you live in my heart. Thank you, dear Lord, there's no situation, there's no difficulty, there's nothing that I can meet this day, but you're able and you can meet this for me. And I can build my altar like Abram did. I can't. But Lord Jesus, you can, and thank you, Lord Jesus, to set out as you have received, so what? How did I receive it? By faith. How do I walk? By faith. How do I receive it? With empty hands at the cross. How do I receive it? With empty hands. Your hands so full that there's no room for Jesus. Empty hands. Empty hands. Realizing that Jesus Christ is always my sufficiency. I can do all things through Christ. You see, it's a pattern of Abram in your life and mine. Abram with his problem, God with his promise, and God's peace that filled his heart as Abram established his altar as he walked with God. And you and I with our problems day by day and affair, and we take our problems with us, and we walk with our problems and we face them. But God has given us a promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No, I am with you always, even unto the end of the ages. And I count upon that promise. And even when it comes to the end of my life, and in the 23rd Psalm I can say, yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Tremendous sense that I've got a Savior who lives in my heart, who'll never leave me. I've got my problems. I walk with my problems, but I've got a God who's given me a promise that will never fail. And I walk by faith, just like Abram. And as I walk by faith, I have peace, just like Abram. God's been speaking to you this morning. Have you got your problems? Are they so big that you can't even move a foot? Abram had a problem. 25 years. But he walked by faith. All he had was a promise. You know, you've got more than Abram had. You've got a Savior who lives in your heart. You've got a Savior who's precious and nearer to you than anything you could dream of. And you can turn to him. The same faith that saves you is the same faith that receives him day by day. I received him as a sinner to save me from my sins, the act of Christ. I receive him day by day, the activity of Christ in my life, day by day. Relating every problem, every fear, every anxiety to the risen Christ who dwells in my heart. Joy of knowing that I've got a promise. I may have my problems, but Lord Jesus, you're greater than I.